than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation worldwide. How's it going? Welcome to The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. That's right. It is Purple Friday. It is time to preview the game up against the Chiefs coming up. And the only guy who's going to be able to help me do that, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Not much, man. Just ready for another Purple Friday. They're winding down for us, man. The countdown begins.
That's right. We only have three coming up. Next week is Christmas, so we're going to be really busy opening up gifts tonight, all that kind of good stuff. So let's talk about it this week. Like we said, this is going to be kind of like a preview, an audition for next year for the 2016 season. We're going to see a lot of new names, a lot of new guys, a lot of positions potentially going to be opening up next year. So let me ask you, who are some of the guys that you're going to be looking at? What are some of the spots that you're looking at to see who can maybe be an improvement of what we've seen this year?
Well, I think Kamar Akins made a name for himself. I mean, he's the number one option right now. I mean, if you look at the production and he's stepping in for Steve Smith, I think he's the clear-cut front runner right now. I mean, it's a far cry from a few years ago where we thought Marlon Brown was going to be the guy, and he's just vapored out. He just basically vanished. He's vapor. He's gone. He's invisible. So I think Kamar Akins a good name to throw out there. It's a solid keep on addition, maybe. And I think Jeremy Butler's made a name for himself coming on lately with all the additions of Darren Waller and Steve Smith and Marlon Brown dissipating. I think that Jeremy Butler's made a name for himself on the receiving squad. I don't know about Chris Givens. I think he's a one-year wonder.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's going to be on the team next year.
That's what I was going to ask you next. Where do you see Chris Givens? I could potentially see him on this team if they do get rid of Marlon Brown. With Breshad Perriman playing next year, Kamar Akin staying here with potentially Steve Smith staying here, I could see Givens getting a tryout and maybe an invitation to stay on the team if Marlon Brown doesn't improve next year. So if it's between those two coming up, I mean, we're not going to see Marlon Brown, I don't think, this week because he's been injured. But Chris Givens, I don't know. We might see him next year. You know, there are worse options out there that we could pick from.
Yeah, and it also sets on what we do in April in the draft. How that shapes out. I mean, you know, right now we're slated for a top five pick. So, you know, if it happens, we could get a top talent, whether it's a corner or a receiver. So who knows? I mean, we possibilities are endless. We got to see what draft picks we end up with and what picks and what numbers we have.
Sure.
But that's all going to play out. But I definitely see Kamar Akin going on to next year, especially for the receiving core and the offense.
So let me ask you this. A guy that you were really into when we drafted him, you were real happy to see this guy on the team, Zardarius Smith. He's had a pretty quiet season. He's had two sacks up against the Steelers, but besides that, he hasn't really done much for this team. Now, with these 3 weeks coming up, them trying out guys in different positions, where do you see a guy like Zardarius Smith? Do you see him improving and becoming more like a more permanent part of this team next year? Or do you expect anything from him from the next three games?
Well, I would hope that he comes alive in the next three games and shows himself to prove worthy of another year. Again, he was high on my radar coming out of Kentucky. I really liked the way he played. But he hasn't really showed much this year. You're right. In the beginning of the year, he started showing off a little bit of his skills. But especially with all the injuries, we expected these guys to step up and not only Smith, but another guy you have to look at is Perriman. How is he going to fit in this offense? Because he's probably going to be a starter next year, given that he actually heals or whatever's wrong with him. But you have to figure that Perriman gets worked in here somewhere or another.
Yeah, I would hope so. And you do have guys like Darren Waller, who I thought, just due to his height, him and Joe Flacco would get along very well, and that they would be a good tandem. But we didn't really see a lot from them, unfortunately, this year. So maybe next year. But what else we should talk about? Crockett Gilmore, another tight end, down for the count, not playing this Sunday and probably done for the rest of the year. That's really got to hurt us with no Nick Boyle, now no Crockett Gilmore. Max Williams is really the only guy who's been able to stay healthy, and he's looked okay this year. He hasn't had a crazy good rookie year, but it's been good for what it is. He's been showing off, and there's definitely room to improve, but he's been pretty solid. But what do we do at tight end now that it looks like Crockett Gilmore's gone?
I think tight end's going to be we're going to have to wait and see what happens with injuries. Because, these aren't really career-threatening injuries like at Dennis Pittle, where Crockett's injury, he's just out for a year. And you have to remember, Nick Boyle is not injured. He was just suspended for the final four games. So Nick Boyle will be welcome back here. So you would think, Helud and I went through his trials with that. So, you have to remember, we still have a healthy tight end, Nick Boyle. I just like to see what happened to our boy Max Williams, man. He hasn't really been involved, and I was really hoping to see some brightness out of him because he started off well. He made some great plays in beginning of the year and preseason and hurdling defenders and making plays, and you haven't really heard much from him. So I'm definitely the tight end position, I think we're going to be fine there. I think Crockett comes back healthy, and then we have Nick Boyle, so I think we're fine at the tight end position.
Gotcha. So another thing that the Ravens are going to be doing on the offseason, past these three games, is that they're kind of looking at their training methods, and they're going to figure out what's going on, because you look at this team, and it's been a crazy couple years. Let me see if I can find the stat here. It's 38 players on injury reserve in the last two seasons. So they're looking at it to see, like, to me, you can't just say, oh, that's bad luck, or it's a rough game, because for that amount of people to go out, it's got to be something worse than bad luck. And you look at it, it's torn Achilles for two players. It's a torn MCL, ACL for Joe Flacco. There's not a lot of muscle problems that we see a lot. It's a lot of broken bones. It's a lot of really just bad injuries that you can't come back from. It takes a very long time to rehab. So what do you think that the Ravens can do training wise or what can they do to figure out what's going on? I'll ask you two questions. Do you think it's just bad luck, or do you think it's something they can improve in training? And if it is something they can improve in training, what do you think they should do better?
I would equate it to some of it bad luck, because our own lineman ran into Flacco's knee. So it's not like Flacco was running and, he planted wrong. That stuff happens. Like with Steve Smith, he was running, went down and got tackled and tore his Achilles. Cyril Suggs happened the same way. It went down with a hip injury. These guys got legitimate injuries with, like on field, like Ray's, with Ray Lewis's injury back in the Super Bowl year. He went to tackle somebody and with, pushing and pulling in opposite directions, tears the tricep. So with Flacco, it was a freak injury. So it can't really state that, some of it is luck and some of it is just, oh, it sucks. It's part of the game. You play the game long enough, sometimes you're going to get hurt. Some players play the game for 10, 15 years, don't even get hurt. Some play it in the first year and get hurt, never step on the field. So some of it's luck and some of it's, it could be conditioning. But Achilles injuries happen. So conditioning doesn't really have that effect, but because those are freak injuries with Suggs and Smith and the like. But with your dehydration and muscle cramps and stuff like that, that's taking care of your body and really knowing how. But broken bones, they happen. You land awkwardly, you twist some knees, let's say you're running back and you get tackled by your legs and you get down and you can sprain your ankle, you can hit your knee on the turf. Things happen like that. So conditioning is really tough on that. But as far as preparing and not getting gassed, because that helps, because if you're playing in warmer climates like we did in December in Miami, that hurts because you're in cold weather all that time, man. And and then you go to a warm weather climate, you got to condition for keeping yourself hydrated and fluids in you. So it definitely helps it. A lot of times you hear players go back and get an IV or getting some fluids back in them. So it happens. So conditioning is a part of it, but also you just sometimes they happen.
Yeah, so let's look at this Sunday game up against the Chiefs. Big question here is what's going to happen at quarterback. Never thought we'd be wondering what's going on with the quarterback here in Baltimore for another couple of years. But Jimmy Clausen looks like he's going to be the starter. All signs point to him. He's practicing as if he were the starter. But Matt Schaub did return to practice for the first time on Wednesday. I don't see him getting a jersey for the day due to the fact that he missed out. Maybe he'll just be a backup. And then you do have the new guy. You have Ryan Mallett, who is new to town, just got here a couple days ago. And again, I don't know. Let me know what you think, but I don't see him starting this game, at least, due to the fact that he did just get here this past Monday. But maybe down the road on one of the last two games. But do you see Jimmy Clausen being our starting quarterback this week, or do you see potentially Schaub coming back or even Mallett getting a couple reps?
I mean, you have to say it's Jimmy fault, just because of sheer play of the last game. He played the whole game. It was mediocre at best, not even. I mean, it's pedestrian mediocre. But with Schaub coming back from an injury, Ryan Mallett just coming here, they're going to be backups on the sideline, even if Schaub is activated as a healthy active. But it's going to be Clausen's offense the whole way through the rest of the year, I think. I think Ryan Mallett was only brought in for insurance or in case Clausen really, really does bad or something really happens, because Schaub's not a good to go and they don't want to risk Schaub's health, you know, with three games right now to play at the year, and they don't want to, you know, do something stupid that really furthers injuries or hurts career. So, I think that's why Mallett was brought in as an insurance, just in case, because you figured if Schaub can't go, you're down to one quarterback on the roster and healthy Clausen. So if he gets hurt in a game, can't really have anybody there. I mean, you know, so there's no utility guys. I mean, what are you going to put? Maybe, you know, one of the receivers in this quarterback. It's going to be horrible. So I think you're going to see that. Mallett could start possibly by the end of the year. But right now, I think it's Jimmy's team right now.
All right, and on the offensive line, look at a guy, Kelechi Osemele. He got moved over to left tackle this past week. We really didn't touch it on the Red Eye Review, but it looks like he's going to be staying there for the rest of the year just to kind of see what he can do there. He seemed comfortable to me. It seems like Harbaugh's happy with him being at left tackle. Do you see him staying there this game, and what did you think of him this past week?
Well, I thought he played solidly. From what I can see is just from the film, I mean, I think he stays there unless we need him to move, if we need a personnel issues. I mean, it's kind of like at this point, the Ravens are like, we need you to play where we need you because we have so many injuries and we can't have you stay in one spot. So these guys are going to have to learn to, you hear the term cross-trained a lot, they're going to have to be trained, you know, hey, tackle, guard, left, right, you're going to have to learn both because we have so many injuries, we might need you to switch up, or depending on what look, if they're passing or running or if the formation calls for it, I think they're going to have to switch it up a bit.
Gotcha. And do you think he'll stay there maybe next year? I mean, of course, like we said, this is an audition for the next couple weeks, but do you see Kelechi Osemele staying there next year potentially?
Yeah, it's a possibility. Do I 100%? I don't know. I would like to see it. I think he thrives there, but I think it's just I really would love to see his stats in either position to see where he really thrives the most to keep him there. But I think it's you have to have your players play at their highest potential on the spots that they really know how to play and they thrive. But who knows? I mean, if the personnel changes him for Kelechi to stay put at that position, great. And I'm all for it if it helps the team.
Gotcha. All right, well, what do we have to do here? I mean, it's going to be a long shot that the Ravens win on Sunday. So I don't know if we should go over, like, what are the keys to the game to have the Chiefs or win or how to make sure the Chiefs don't win or whatever. But I guess the best thing to say right now is just, what do you want to see in this
game? It's a little weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Like, what do you want to see in this game? Because points don't matter. Score doesn't matter. Are there specific players that you want to see what they can do for next year? Are there specific plays? Or is it like what side of the ball are you worried about more? Like, I don't really know what to ask you, but like what are you looking for in this game on Sunday?
You're running out of options, man.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure if you ask Harbaugh, score don't matter and points don't matter, he'd scold you because it does matter. Obviously, our goal is to win the game, and I'm not worried about, like, and the fans don't bring up tanking and, oh, let's just lose out and go 4-12 and get a hybrid. No, you know, we're going to get where we're going to get them. It's fate. It's already set. Our destiny's predetermined. So it's already done. So whether we finish 4-12, 5-11, or 6-10, And when the rest is sat, who knows? There's only three records we can have. So pick your poison. So, I mean, we're limited now. But what I think is I want to see in this game is the effort we've been seeing. I mean, I wouldn't say the effort wasn't there against the Seahawks. It's just they were just too much. And we had so depleted, and we had a Jimmy Clausen-led offense. It was just too much to overcome, and we couldn't move the ball against them. I mean, it's the Seahawks defense and the Seahawks offense. Seahawks, they were just like we discussed. They were red hot coming in. They had the Legion of Boom. They had a great offense coming out, and they took it to us. We had played a great team. I mean, they weren't two-time defending NFC champions for no reason, and 1 year removed from the Super Bowl and trounced the Broncos. So it happens, and they were one play away from being two-time defending champs. So, you know, they're no slouch. I mean, the Chiefs are red hot too. You know, they were like 1-5 at one point, like us, and they just put on a 6-game winning streak. So, like I said, if we had to turn around the Chiefs did, we could have been in the playoff discussions. So the Chiefs turned their season around because they were dismal as us. They got five power of their own. I mean, they wrote out their weapon, Jamaal Charles, which is vital because that's a big loss for them. So they have their own issues. But Alex Smith is playing decent football. Jeremy Maclin's a threat. Travis Kelce's a beast at tight end. And they got a stellar defense led by Andy Reid. So I think they're still a formidable opponent, AFC opponent. They're still much very alive in the AFC race here at wild card. So you're going to get the best of them. But I want the Ravens to put their best foot forward and give it the best effort they can. You know, do I think it might be close this time? No, I think we might. You know, we might have another trounce as it might be. But I think the Ravens need to really, you know, put their best effort forward and kind of have that line between effort and preseason evaluations at this point, or next season evaluations, or something.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. As much as I don't want this team to get discouraged, I think that's going to be like the true call. Pardon the pun there, the true call to be a Raven. Because if you do have this type of game, and it's this type of adversity, and it's this type of hardship put on your back, and you're still able to come out and you're still able to get a couple points, you're still able to play well against an established team like the Chiefs, then your future's going to look bright for the Ravens, because that's the big thing. Ravens really never say die. They never quit on you. So that's what we really want to see, and that's what we really need to look at for next year, just to see who's cut out to be a Raven. That's the big thing for me.
And you have to understand is they didn't really quit on Sunday. Like, no. Just don't get me wrong. Yeah, it's just they basically just didn't have – they couldn't play with the Seahawks. There's no way this offense was putting up 20, 30 points to keep pace with the Seahawks offense. So it was kind of the deal, and it might be the same because we have the next two opponents, and obviously Cincinnati in round three at the last game of the year without Andy Dalton. I mean, they still have firepower, but who knows what might happen. But keep it the Chiefs at bay. They got a running game still. They got West. They got Davis. It's definitely going to be a tough task. I mean, you know, I'd like to see how it unfolds for our team, but it is going to be a tall order to even try to stop them at this point. So I'm looking to say, you know, players stay healthy, nobody really get hurt, and really see if we can hone in on that and not have any more injuries. I mean, it just seems like every week there's an injury.
Yeah.
But it's not only an injury, it's an IR injury, and I'm just getting sick of it. I really hope that it stops and we can stop the bleeding there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, for this Purple Friday preview, have we covered everything?
Dude, we covered this one to the max, my friend.
Awesome. Now, if you guys want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you could tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, very cool. Now, guys, check out BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. Also, go over to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us, and whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know, and you'll find cool articles and pictures and photos and everything else we can think of to share with you guys about the Ravens. We are all over the social media empires. There's Twitter, there's Facebook. We're on Snapchat as well at The Call Podcast. Check us out there. Guys, it's all we're asking in return for doing this show is we are asking you guys to please just spread the word about The Call. Let people know about us on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Anywhere you are social on the web. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. Whether it's good times or bad times, I listen to The Call and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show on this Purple Friday. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much, man. And still, I'm proud to be a Ravens fan, as always. Purple Friday, got it on purple and black. I'm enjoying today. It's just, it is dire. It's a long season. It gets even longer every week because you're like, just put an end to this misery. Can we get the all season? Can we rebuild our team, get everybody healthy, and move forward? It's going to happen, guys. Stick with it. It's still Ravens football. There's still a game to be played. And we did, and Brandon, before, you know, on the way out here, you know, we're definitely going to preview, you know, next week's matchups. So definitely can't wait to get to it, man. It's been a great ride. You got to enjoy it. We got two home games left. Let's show the support. Don't give up your tickets to the opposing fans. Come out, support, and we definitely show them what we're about. And I just hate that. And being at a game in season ticket holder, I hate it when fans just like give up and they sell their tickets. And I'm not going. I'm not sitting there in the cold. And I hear it all the time. I'm like, okay, well, I'm sure you're gonna sit in the cold for, you know, Ray's last dance game. I'm sure you'll sit in the cold if, you know, I sat in the cold in New England to see if we can go to the Super Bowl and AFC title game. You know, I'm sure Ravens fans sat in 10 degree weather to see them go win in Denver in a Mile High Miracle. I know Ravens fans who were there froze their butt off. So hey, you know, if you're gonna freeze when they're winning, you better get freezing when they're losing, because we don't play fair weather around here, and anybody who does that, no room for that. You know, it's just it disheartens me when you just give up. We're done, and you need to find other things to do. I mean, I know Raven fans who, you know, quit watching the games. They're like, oh, I turned the game off. I'm like, okay, well, I like to see you turn the game off when we're in a playoff race. So I'm tired of it. I'm going to support till the end. I am cherishing these next two games to get to go, because hey, I'm blessed. I have season tickets. I get to go, and I'm very blessed to be a part of that. I'm one of the Ravens fans who is very fortunate to get to go to a game. Not everybody goes. There's people that never got to go to a game in their life. So with that being said, enjoy the Purple Friday, and we're going to break it down on game days. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high this weekend.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.